Matchroom Radio is on the road for episode 20. I am David Diamante, and I'm here in Milan, Italy for Friday's show. While in Miami, Demetrius Andre defends against his WBO World Middleweight Mandatory Challenger, Liam Williams. And we're joined by both men a bit later. Both events are live on DAZN, starting with the Italian card, which is topped by Fabio Turchi with the EU Cruiserweight title clash. He's fighting Dylan Brejean. And in the chief support, Francesco Patera will be fighting Nicola Henchiri. So I'm joined by the former European lightweight champion, Francesco Patera, first up.
How are you, my friend?
I'm very good, David. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm honored.
Absolutely. It's an honor for me to have you here. I don't think that we've seen each other since Newcastle in 2018 when you fought Lewis Ritson and you actually won the title.
Yeah, that was the last time I was in the UK, so on a very big show. And yeah, that was the last time I saw you, yes.
That was a huge night. And, you know, it was funny because Lewis Ritson had been on the rise. And obviously he's from Newcastle. The fans from Newcastle are famed. The fans in the UK in general are famed, but Newcastle especially. And so you came into like the lion's den. What was that like?
Yeah, it was really crazy. You know, the fans were really loud. They were for the guy, but you know, I expected that. But you know, I liked the atmosphere there. You know, it didn't bother me. It really motivated me actually for the fight and the energy, what they gave. You know, against me, gave me more energy for me.
Actually, you used it as a positive. Yeah. You said that was the best night of your life.
That was the best night of my life, the best fight I fought till now, I think. You know, I was very motivated. I trained really hard for that fight and just everything, you know, winning there and being the underdog, overcoming such great fighter as Lewis, you know, that was great.
So your first 15 fights you fought in Belgium, that's correct?
Yes.
And you come from a town called Genk?
Genk, yes.
So it's a small town, it's maybe about an hour from Bruges, an hour from Brussels.
Yeah.
What's it like there?
It's just a normal town, nothing really special about it, you know, just an easygoing town. I live good there, you know, good, I have good friends, my family is there, nearby also. My girlfriend lives there, so everything is there. And I have a good life there.
Your heritage is Italian, yes?
Yes.
And you speak, you live in a Flemish, so Genk is in the Flemish part,
yes,
of Belgium, but you actually train in Liège, which is the French part.
Yeah.
Is there any, how does that work out for you?
You know, it's only, it's a French side, but it's only 40-minute driving. So it's not that far, but my French is not that good, but you know, I'm lucky, you know, I can still express myself. I know enough French to talk against the other guys, and also the trainers are Italian, so that's easy for me, and I feel very good there.
Is there a big Italian community in Belgium?
Yes, there are a lot of Italians. Also where I'm from, in Genk, there's really big Italian community, also in Liège. You know, they came to Belgium to work also in the early years, in the mines and stuff, so there are a lot of Italians.
That's what I was going to ask you. Why did your family move to Belgium? Was it for that?
Yeah, my father for more opportunities with work and stuff. You know, he went from Italy to Germany first, and then he was in Belgium. And my mother also was in Belgium then, and they get to know each other, you know, and that's how I came to the world.
And how did you get into boxing? Where did that come from?
Actually, my brother was also a fighter. He's now my trainer. And my dad also was a passionate of boxing. But I saw them, and then normally I wanted to be a footballer.
Okay.
But I went to a training and I sucked.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I'm going to try boxing, and I liked it because it's also only you who decides. And I felt good boxing, you know, I liked it.
There was a local club where you grew up?
Yeah, first I trained in Genk in my years as a kid. And then I went to Liège to get competitive, because in Genk there is not a lot of competition with boxing.
Now, you won the European title that night against Lewis Ritson in 2018 in Newcastle. You fought a couple times in the UK. You fought Masvidal in Liverpool, right?
Yes.
And again, another city with really passionate fans.
Yeah.
Was that similar? How did you find that compared to Newcastle? Was it very similar?
Newcastle was louder and crazier, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
And also because I had in Newcastle, I had the main event, and in Liverpool it was more not so in the main card.
Sure.
It was arena was half full, you know, and Newcastle it was full and everyone was going crazy. So that was different. But also when the main event came, Tony Bellew at the main event, he's really popular in Liverpool, and the fans were also great atmosphere. And that, I love that about the UK fans, and that's amazing.
Would you, I mean, I know you lost a close decision in the Dodd fight, but would you want to go back and fight in the UK?
Yeah, of course. That's, I really want to go back to the UK, absolutely.
Yeah.
I also said after the Ritson fight, I would go immediately back because I love it, you know, to fight big fights and big stadiums, big atmosphere. The English people are really passionate, and that's, you know, the place to be, England, America, that's where I want to fight.
Yeah, the fans are great. They're very passionate, and they're very knowledgeable too, yeah. Which I really enjoy myself doing a lot of fights in the UK. So you won that title against Lewis Ritson in 2018, and then you defended it three times before you vacated it. Yeah. Now, you wanted to fight for the WBA interim world title, but then what happened?
Yeah, of course, that was last year in March. I had to fight for the WBA interim world, but the corona pandemic happened, so that was, it blocked everything. Then it was rescheduled, but the title was changed because another fighter fought for the WA interim.
Romero, yes?
Yeah, Romero.
But you were supposed to fight Davis Bosquiero for that.
Yes, normally, yes.
And first it got canceled just because of the whole pandemic situation. But then in December, you caught COVID.
Then I caught COVID 1 week before the fight. I was really destroyed about that because I was training from the summer because the date was set back a couple of times, but they weren't sure when to put it. But I was always training, so I was training like 6 months hard, dieting, everything, sacrificing time with my family, with my girlfriend. So when I had the positive, I was really, it really broke me mentally. I was a bit weak, you know. I was really emotional also because I thought, man, 6 months, that's a lot of sacrifice, and then for nothing. But you know, I came back good.
So you talked about how it broke you mentally, but what about physically? What was your COVID like? Were you very sick? Was it short? Was it long?
I wasn't, it really didn't bother me a lot. I had some mild symptoms, but you know, in my family, everybody got it at home. My dad was really bad.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was in the intensive care for 2 weeks. At the day I had to fight, I had to call the ambulance for my dad. So maybe it was because of that I had canceled. You never know, if I wasn't there, maybe they didn't call the ambulance or something and he would not be here.
So he's okay now, your family's
but now
okay.
He's back, he recuperated, you know, luckily. So.
And what about you? What about your stamina? Do you feel any repercussions from that, or you feel 100%?
No, I feel great, I feel 110%. I feel really, I can say I came stronger from these moments. From the negative moments, I became stronger.
How?
I can say that. I don't know. I feel physically, I feel great. You know, but I always been a hard worker. No, I always give it my all for everybody.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. I just have it in my heart, I think.
Do you think it comes from like your family? Maybe your father was like this, and you learned it from that, or it's just always been in you?
I think I'm just a winner. I just want to always win, and I don't want to leave nothing to case. You know, I don't want to do one spurt. If I leave one spurt out, then it stays in my head. I have to do everything 100%, or it stays in my head. I'm like that. I have to suffer in training, and then I'm happy. And I know in the fight I will be 100%. There is nothing I have to worry about.
I understand that very well because I feel very much the same way. So then, you're supposed to fight Bosquiero, you get sick. Yeah. Now, you're scheduled to fight him, and then he gets sick.
He gets sick, yeah.
What does that now do to you, again?
That was like, I hope I can fight for the title still.
Yeah.
So that was my main, at least I can get the title, W silver title, and I can move on.
I mean, you're ranked number 12 right now with the WBC.
Yeah.
Did you vacate the European because you feel like you kind of graduated from that level? It's time to go to world level now?
I want to go big, yeah. I want, I want just to go to a very big fight. After the Redson fight, I already wanted to go, you know, but I'm like that. I want to go to the biggest, fast possible. But, you know, I defended my title 3 times here at in Italy, also 2 times. So I was happy. I defended 3 times. Like, you know, I want bigger things. I want something that motivates me.
There's a name in the WBC. He was also with Matchroom, Devin Haney. Yeah. Has that fight been discussed, and how do you feel about that? Is that a fight that you would want, possibly?
No, it's never been discussed, but I would love that fight. You know, he's world champion. That's the fight I would take in 1 second. And, you know, he's a really good fighter, great fighter. But, you know, I think I can beat him. You know, I think I'm ready for everybody.
There are other fighters coming up in Belgium right now that we've seen. Is there anyone that you can tell us about that you've seen coming up that you might want to tell us about in Belgium?
Yeah, there are a lot of, Belgium the last decade has brought a lot of good fighters, I think. And now there is also a cruiserweight, Riyad Marie. You know, he's also a good fighter. He was also WBA interim world champion. Now he has been elevated to WBA regular champ, I think. So, you know, there are a lot of hopes and talents in Belgium now.
And are you kind of one of the top guys in the country leading the charge for that? Do people look up to you? Do other fighters? Do you guys know each other? Is it like a small community?
Yeah, most fighters know each other, yeah. We know each other, we support each other.
Okay.
Because, you know, why not? You know, I wish the best to everybody. And, yeah.
Well, you have a fight against Enrique tomorrow night here in Milan. And we wish you the very best of luck. And Francesco, thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk with us.
No problem. It's an honor. Right. Thank you.
Great talking to Francesco. Looking forward to the big fight in Milan. And right now, we're going to go ahead and switch over to Miami. And I'm delighted to be joined by 23-2-1 with 18 knockouts, the WBO World Middleweight Mandatory Challenger, Liam the Machine Williams. Hey, Liam, how are you, brother?
I'm very well, mate. Very well. Just enjoying a year in Miami. Just chilling.
All right, great. Well, for the fans out there, we're switching over to Miami. I am delighted right now to be joined by 23-2-1 with 18 knockouts, the Machine. I got the WBO World Middleweight Mandatory Challenger, Liam Williams. And Liam, I will not be calling your fight this weekend, but it is an honor to have you on the show. How's things going in America?
Thank you very much, mate. I appreciate it. Bit disappointed that you won't be there, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, we're doing 2 shows this week, so I'm in Milan.
Right, okay. That's not bad, though. Nice place to be as well, yeah?
Yeah, it's really nice, man. And we've got a nice show out here, but I'll definitely be watching your show on Saturday. We got ours on Friday. So I just talked to Francesco Patera over here, and now I'm going to talk to you and Demetrius. So you've been over in America now about a week, is that right?
Yeah, I've been here a week today, yeah, a week ago today.
Have you spent a lot of time in America before?
I've done a couple of weeks here and there. I've been to LA, Vegas. I went to Texas to watch, who was it, Chocolatito and Carl Yafai.
Yeah. What a fight that was, man.
Mickey Garcia, he boxed Jesse Vargas.
Yep.
I went there, I was around about that time. I went to Vegas and LA as well. So I had a couple of little spells in America, but nothing too big, you know.
How are you finding this trip so far?
I'm enjoying it, you know. It's, well, as much as I can anyway, let's put it that way. I would, you know, I'd rather be here on a holiday. I'd rather be on the on the beachfront drinking and, you know, doing whatever else it is you do, but you know, I'm enjoying as much as I possibly can for this trip. I'm excited for Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously there to do business. Have you fully acclimated to the time zone?
Yeah, I would say so. Do you know, I would actually say last night was probably my best night.
Good.
I feel like it all today. I'm feeling the best, and I believe I'm in line now.
Good. Yeah, obviously we want you in tip-top shape. But it shows that, you know, how serious you are about this fight, going out a week early and just getting ready and getting prepared. I mean, this fight has been months and kind of years in the making. It's starting to feel real now, huh?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I didn't want to leave any, in terms of coming here in time and stuff, I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. So I came here a bit earlier, you know, to give myself the best possible chance. You know, so I'm very excited. It has been a long time coming, and you know, I do believe it in a roundabout way. It's only worked in my favor because I've been getting better the whole time. You know.
Yeah, there's been a lot said about this fight on social media. Do you think you've gotten under Andrade's skin a bit?
Possibly, probably, yeah. Because you don't normally see him like react and stuff the way he does. I do believe I've probably pissed him off a couple of times. But, you know, where it is good, hopefully I'll piss him off enough so he comes and has a good fight with me, you know, and then I'll just knock him cold. So, good, let him come.
How do you rate him as a fighter? I mean, obviously he's a two-weight world champion. Do you rate him? I mean, how do you plan to deal with him?
Yeah, you know, of course I rate him. You'd be a bit of a fool not to, really, because he's, you know, he's been around for a long time. He's three-time champion, two different weight classes. It'd be pretty rude of me not to show him any respect at all, wouldn't it? So, you know, as I said, I do rate him. I think he's very good at what he does, but I just don't think he's going to have the answers to cope, you know, with what I'm going to bring to the table.
Do you think, I mean, I got to go back to the dance partner that you guys share. Let's say Alantes Fox, Mr. Sly Azza. Because I actually rate Alantes. I think he's a tricky fighter, man. I think he's a tough customer, and you stopped him in five. Demetrius went the distance with him. Do you think that, you know, his elusive style, is that the way you dealt with him? Is that something that kind of the way that maybe you're going to deal with Demetrius?
Do you know what? Fox was a good fighter, but they're obviously very different. Well, they're totally different, actually, because you got Andrade's a southpaw. Yep. Box out of a different style and whatnot, the height difference, the reach difference. There are a lot of differences, but I just think also going back to, like, you know, the way he went to point to them and I stopped him in five. Everybody keeps going on about that, but to be honest with you, I'm not taking too much away from it because as we said, the styles make fights and, you know, they're different, so it don't really count for nothing.
Do you think that at least though that stoppage will kind of maybe he'll give you a little bit of respect as a legitimate contender here?
Yeah, I guess so, because obviously he couldn't stop him and he knows how tough and tricky he was. So, you know, and I went and stopped him in five rounds. So it just goes to, in his mind, he's going to know that I bring a lot to the table.
You know, Demetrius has had a really extensive amateur career. He's seen and dealt with tons of styles. And that's one of the reasons why I rate him so highly. But, you know, in the pros, it's like we've yet to see him in like a dogfight. And I'm really curious to see what would happen when he's really pushed. And I'm really curious to see if you can do that with him.
I can assure you, I'll tell you something. No, I will. You're going to see him in a real fight Saturday. I honestly believe I'm going to drag him deep and I'm going to drown him, essentially. I just think I'm going to batter him. I really do think I'm going to hurt him.
He in the build-up here, he made up it, kind of this whole thing about the WWE, kind of like, oh, he's not really training for this fight, you know, because he's eyeing for a fight in the WWE. You didn't buy into that, did you?
No, of course not. This it's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't really know what to say. It's just about, you know, he's obviously trying to have a laugh and a joke and just create a bit of chat on, you know, along the internet and stuff. So he's been taking this fight seriously, whatever he lays on. You know, going back to what I said earlier, he's not silly. He's been preparing hard, long and hard. And I'm expecting the best, Demetrius Andrade.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you do have two blemishes on your record from Liam Smith. What can you tell us about what you learned from those bouts? Because a lot of times those blemishes can be like the best teachers, and it's what makes you a better fighter.
100%, and I stand by what you said there. Them two losses, I really do think they made me as a fighter.
Mm. How so?
Back then, I was kind of playing with it. I weren't taking it as serious as I should have. I was doing things I shouldn't have been. There were certain things, certain reasons, which I know obviously played a part in me not being the best Liam Williams, which I obviously, you know, I don't really want to go into on you, but there was a lot of reasons for certain things, and you know, down to my own being my own fault, no one else's, and you know, I've corrected them. I've got a new, obviously a changed trainer, and I'm fully focused. And also on things, the weight, I was obviously making 11 stone, and I wasn't doing it the correct way. It was a bad time for me making 11 stone. It used to be rough. I wouldn't be able to do this interview with you right now if I was still fighting at that weight. Couldn't speak sure. properly.
So you're feeling a lot more comfortable now, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. Fight week is a breeze for me now compared to where it was back then.
You've got the backing of your fellow countryman, the legendary Joe Calzaghe, this week. How much does that mean to you, knowing that, you know, the legend will be cheering you on?
Yes, it's obviously a massive buzz having him backing me. And you've called me a couple of times. We've exchanged a couple of texts and stuff like that. So, it's good. It's really nice that he's backing me, and you know, he genuinely believes that I'm going to win. All I can do is, you know, make him proud and just bring that title on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of legends that have held this title, man. I mean, Ben, Eubank, McClellan, Collins, Sturm, you know, De La Hoya, Hopkins, Martinez, Kelly Pavlik, and then of course, you know, more recently Andy Lee and Billy Joe, right? I mean, that must be inspiring just in itself to possibly be joining that elite list.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it goes without saying, doesn't it? Some of the names you've just reeled off there, unbelievable fighters, legends, you know. So for me to be the next man on that list would, it really would be special, and it's something I'd be really proud of.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, I think we touched on this a little bit, but just to kind of end, you know, Demetrius is really known for that slick style and his slick skills. I do kind of assume you're going to come in there with just a seek and destroy attitude. Do you think you need to get him out of there to fulfill your destiny this Saturday night and win the world title?
Do you know what? I don't think I have to get him out of there, because I fully expect to have a fair share from judges and whatever else. But I think I could beat him on the points just by outworking him, the pressure, the, you know, everything else. But hand on heart, I don't intend on letting it go to the points. You know, I'm not going to leave it in the hands of anybody else. I just want to go there, and I want to be walking away from him face down.
Liam, we wish you the best of luck. We will be watching with interest on Saturday. Great to talk to you. Thank you so much, and Godspeed.
Take care, mate. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so we've now heard from the challenger. It's time to hear from the undefeated, reigning, and defending WBO middleweight champion, Demetrius Boo Boo Andrade. Yo.
Yo, David.
What's going on, man?
Popping.
Yo, those dreads are looking great, bro.
No, you know, man, I pick up some game from your boy, you know.
I'll tell you what, man, you always talk about that, but they're coming, man. How fast they're growing, they look great.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks.
Man, you repping the Cape Verde with the hat.
You know, got to show some love for the people, you know.
As you always do. And speaking of the people, for the people out there listening, if you don't know, let me tell you who I am talking with. I am talking with 29-0, undefeated, 18 knockouts, three-time, two-division world champion, the Southpaw himself, Mr. Demetrius Vupu Andrade. Man, it's great to see you in Miami.
Oh, yeah, nah, it's definitely, you know, the Sunshine State, and I'm ready to shine and do what I do. But, yeah, man, Miami's second home. Love it out here.
That's great. Do you have your family with you?
Oh, yeah, I got the whole crew.
Okay, so you got the kids. You got your pops down there, Paul?
Yeah. You know, he's the number one. You know what I'm saying? You know, the lights, when the lights shine, he comes out. You know what I'm saying?
Always. Listen, for those that don't know, you started boxing at your dad's gym, right? You were 6 years old?
Yeah, I started fighting around six, yeah.
And your older brother fought too, right?
Yeah, I got an older brother named Michael. Well, my dad had a gym, and he was training other fighters. And, you know, it was upstairs, it was a boxing gym. Downstairs, we had like a karate dojo that I can remember. And so we used to just go there, and I used to just have fun playing around. We used to just routine. And then my older brother, he was like older, so he was like more serious into the, you know, the skills. And my dad trained him. And as time went on, 5, 6 years old, and I started, you know, boxing myself.
You found out that you had the gift.
Oh, yeah, these things right here are fast, boy. They're fast.
They are. They are. But, you know, it's not just that. It's your mind, too. You're smart. You're smart in there. You know, you're also a technician.
Yeah, for sure. You know, my dad, you know, taught us well. He definitely, you know, taught us the right way, how to defend ourselves, how to use your mind in there, and definitely, you know, angles and, you know, that geometry.
Well, I mean, you went on, man, to be a 2008 Olympian in Beijing. You got a gold medal at the 07 World Championships. I mean, you boxed all over the world, China, Russia, several times in Germany, Brazil, Venezuela, Hungary, France, Netherlands, Portugal. You've been all over the world.
Yeah, they call me Mr. International. You know what I'm saying? Not too many people know, man. Mr. International out here, man. What can I say?
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right. From coast to coast, Compton to Cairo. That's how you do it. Listen, but, you know, to be serious, you know, when you have such an extensive amateur career, you've seen so many styles. Do you think this your challenger, Liam Williams, is going to bring you a style that you haven't seen before?
Of course not. You know, I done fought them all. You know, tough guys, rugged guys, fast guys, slow guys, strong guys. You know, I mean, you know, not too many people out there I fought actually has, like, you know, my type of style, but I have fought, you know, well foundation, like base foundation, technical skill fighters too. But, you know, I always find a way to, you know, use my mind to be, you know, on the edge and have the edge and, you know, win the fight, of course. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know, this is a combat sport. You know, at the end of the day, Williams is going to, you know, put his will, his, whatever ability he has, and try to put it on me. And I'm going to do what I always do is, you know, find the answers to, you know, show my demonstration of my skills is more superior than yours. I'm smarter than you, and I'm going to win this fight regardless of what you bring to the table.
And, you know, I love what you just said, because it makes me, this is why I think you're such a dangerous fighter, because you're going to find a way, like almost like he's a puzzle. Is that how you look at it when you go into a fight? Like, you kind of look at it like a physical puzzle. You see what they're bringing and you just try to dismantle what their strengths are.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You know, what is he good at? And let me take that away. Where is he, you know, slacking at? Let me go and target that, you know? And for me, you know, it's all about the game. You know, it's people understand boxing is when you're smart and you have the IQ. It's like tag, man. Like, you know, it's almost like I want you to see it, but you're too slow to get it because I know what's coming and I know where you're going next. You know, I know the steps. I know how to, you know, get people into where I want to put them or where I want them to go and where I think I'm going to go. And they don't know, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a mind control at the end of the day as well.
100%. But, you know, Boo Boo, I got to keep it a buck, man, with my guy. You know what I mean? I have to. The one wrinkle that I really want to see in your game, and it's not just me, I know you've heard this before, is that spite. You know what I mean? people want to see you go in there and just really be mean in the ring and hurt guys. And sometimes the criticism that I've heard is that sometimes you're just content with getting the points victory, you know, like even with, let's say, like your fights against Calton Dagua and with Suletsky, people were like, yo, he could have gotten him out of there, like the way you got Keeler and Akhovov out of there. But sometimes, you know, you're just so head and shoulders above your opponents. It's just like almost like you're toying with them. Do you think there's any credence to that criticism?
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, I look at it both ways. I look at it as a fighter that I'm in there, put my life on the line, risking everything, you know, and one punch can change everything. And at the end of the day, ain't nobody paying my hospital or coming to visit me, right? And also as the fan, it's like, yeah, damn, Demetrius, you have control. Let's get him up. Let's get him up out of there. Come on, let's see that. Let's see you do what you do and put that icing on the cake. Yeah, I understand that. But you know, the fighters that you mentioned, Aqua Conqua Dakwa, I mean, listen, I've been throwing and hit him with everything. There's some people out there that has that will and side, that spirit, that's like, you know, that's not going to fold. That's not going to, you know, just lay down because they got put down and they're going to come fight hard. You know, Selecki, he was pretty crafty. You know, I put him down. You know, he gathered himself up and he did what he did to survive at the end of the day. But yeah, I mean, Luke Kayla, you know, I've been showing ever since, like, you know, I do hear this a lot. I do show like, yo, here's the killer instincts. I'm putting these guys down with clean shots that you don't see coming or he wasn't expecting. So though, that's the killer instinct. It's not for me just going there and just start, you know, throwing unnecessary punches and just throwing a lot of punches to try to get somebody out there. No, I like my shit to look clean. When I hit these guys, they go down clean. You're like, God damn, I see that shit coming. And so that's why I try to master the knockout that way in that light. Yeah, you know, I can, like I said, I can go out there and just try to, you know, manhandle him and just let him go and whatever happens. And that can go both ways. I can make the mistake and I can get caught. Or it could go the other way. But I like to actually master the art of the, you know, knocking somebody out or knocking them down. I want my shit to look like, you know, the highlight reels that I have put out there. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, it's the boxing, the longest will survive, the smartest will survive, and that's proof.
But so this is the thing. Some of these big fights that we want to see you in, and believe me, I want to see you in these fights. I believe you belong at the top. Do you think sometimes that you have to win spectacularly? You know, you got to look good to do it. Do you think you need to do that to get these big fights?
I mean, look, you know, I mean, tall, black, and handsome. I look good every time I step into the ring. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm looking good when I fight Walter Conqua Dacqua and I put him down four times. Is that not spectacular? Selecki, he had, gave Rosado trouble, gave Danny Jacobs trouble. Rosado gives Danny Jacobs trouble, and I make it look like the way I make it look, easy, like it's icing on a cake. Is that not spectacular? You know, does everything have to be knockout, knockout, knockout? Because if that's the case, name anybody else that's getting knockouts right now. Who's knocking out? Let's just be honest. Like, if you're somebody that has heart, that's willing, that's coming here not to lay down, who has knocked anybody out in the top or elite guys or somebody that's trying to make something of themselves? Who's doing that? And let's not talk about Canelo's last fight. Colin Smith, anybody got knocked down? When he fought Danny Jacobs, anybody got knocked down? Triple G, anybody got knocked down? Danny Jacobs and Rosado, anybody get knocked down? You know, Charlo versus Devchenko, did anybody get knocked down? So everybody's like putting the Demetrius Andre got knocked him down, knock him out. Like, yo, people going down when I'm fighting. But
then who's
really knocking anybody out? And then you go, okay, a Triple G. Okay, come on, guys. Look at the last guy he fought too. These guys is not, they're not. Williams is probably a tougher opponent than all these other guys that I just mentioned that had their last fights. You know, come on, Billy Joe, what he do? He knocked down Martin Murray. What the hell? He's 40 years old, bro. What you talking? Like, what was that? Like, so it's just like, well, I'm getting that hit because why? But at the end of the day, cool. I'm still do what I do. I'm gonna put on a show, and I'm gonna whatever presents is is the opportunity presents itself, then yeah, I'm gonna go strike, man. Why wouldn't I? You know, people think it's easy just to knock people out. It's not. If it was that the case, I would be 29 and 0 with 29 knockouts.
Yeah, but you do have 18, and that's not nothing. That is.
I ain't got the biggest ones. It ain't about these. About these hips, baby. It's about these hips.
But like you said, you know, Liam is a really tough customer. And this fight's kind of been a long time in the making. You know, as all good champions do, you face your mandatories. You never considered ditching the belt and moving in another direction, right?
I don't know where that came from, and I don't know where that came from. Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
I mean, he's also been quite vocal on social media. What do you make of all that, of his approach to this fight?
I mean, listen, man, you want to get me fired up more and more and more, keep running it. That's it. Just keep running it, bro. Like, you know, just keep running it. It's all good. I enjoy it.
You know, speaking of social media, I think it was a joke, but you were talking about the WWE. Are you being serious with that, or you were just having a laugh?
Of course, that's prime time television, man. That's the most viewership thing that's been going on for many, many years. If I could have the opportunity to be on WWE, why not? I mean, come on. Floyd Mayweather was on WWE, you feel me? So, I mean, look at that exposure. So it's all about the exposure.
So if the opportunity presents itself, you would do it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You've been out of the ring over a year. Any concerns about ring rust at all?
You know, I mean, only thing that I'm about the rust is going to be the machine. And when I get done with him, he's going to be the rust bucket. That's all I can tell you. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool. I'm good.
He's going to rust the machine. Also, another thing, too, you haven't fought behind these in these bubbles, these closed doors. This is going to be behind closed doors. You know, atmosphere can be quite a little bit eerie. Is that no concern there?
Nah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I got the music in my head. You feel me?
You know, I tell you, man, I've known you for such a long time. I mean, I don't remember how many of your fights I did early in your career, but, you know, you've always been such a cool, calm customer. And I love it. You know, back in the day when we were doing those fights in Connecticut on ESPN, the different networks. And back then, you were with Joey D and RDP, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How did that combination even come together?
You know, I was young, coming out the Olympics. My dad was shopping around, and he felt, you know, those guys were the best at that time. And, you know, I can only, you know, I mean, I'm young and dumb. I don't have the experience. I don't know nothing about nothing as much. And so, you know, we did that.
Okay. But as far as those guys,
I did whatever. I just was doing what I was told to do, you know?
Okay. Look, up until COVID, you were having about 4 fights in just over a year. You know, you had the activity, you had the momentum. Is that something you're looking to carry on from Saturday? Is that the plan? Or is it just more like you want to wait for the right fight?
No, I mean, listen, during, you know, my years, I was like, you know, trying to make the right fight, getting the right fight, you know, not being as active because, you know, certain situations, whatever. But that was then, this is now. Now it's all about being active, because being active is going to like help demand the fights that we're looking for. And yeah, I mean, that's going to bring the right fight by being active.
And you just turned 33 back in February, right?
Yes. Yep. 33 years old.
Happy belated, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
And so, I mean, from here on out, is it going to be like the biggest and best fights possible? Obviously, I would think.
I mean, listen, Matchroom, The Zone, they got to make it happen, you know? I mean, we got to look at the stable mates and see the real possibilities of making Triple G, you know, the winner out of, you know,
Canelo and Billy Joe.
And, you know, Billy Joe Saunders, if that's possible. You also in the weight class, we have the Chalo brother, we have Morata, I believe his name is, Jaime Munguia, who's like, you know, somebody that's like in our weight class now, who has a little popularity. But unifications, of course, you know, everybody want to sit there and be like, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. So let's just fight.
You know, you just named two names that we're going to be seeing next month, Canelo and Billy Joe. And I know both men have been on your hit list for a long time. How do you see that fight going?
You know, at the end of the day, may the best man win either way. You know, I mean, I'm not in there, so I don't give a fuck. But, you know, yeah.
Well, listen, Demetrius, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. And we wish you the very best luck on Saturday. And I can guarantee you, I'm out here in Milan, Italy. I will be watching your fight. I'll stay up late and I'm going to be watching it. And I can't wait to see what happens on Saturday. So Godspeed, brother.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. God bless and be safe out there.
All right. Well, next week, our attention switches to Barcelona and the British invasion of Spain continues. There's already interest on the card with Kay Prosper and Gavin McDonald. They're both going for the European title. Plus, Jez Smith will be fighting the feared Kerman Lajaraga. And the exclusive this week just added to the card, another Brit, undefeated 2-0 April Hunter, who's now managed by Tony Bellew. She'll be making her European debut. So until then, I'm David Diamante, and don't miss our doubleheader this weekend. Live on DAZN.